That was To Where You Are by Josh Groban. Our music tonight may bear no resemblance to the topic under discussion. We've decided to change the tune. We're going to take an executive decision to play only uplifting songs through to the end of this year here on Travel Writers Radio. Making spirits bright is what it's all about.
I think that's a great idea, Graham. Especially when you make the choices.
No, I'm happy for you to get your L78s out. Not a problem. Now, celebrity chef Luke Mangan leads a busy life as a restaurateur in Sydney, as well as taking on corporate consulting roles, such as his partnership with Virgin Australia, which will shortly see him back on the tools, cooking for an event at Sir Richard Branson's Necker Island. And he spoke to Rita Ehrlich about this earlier.
Luke Mangan is a great Sydney-based chef. He's got many, many strings to his bow or stoves under his fingers. I first met him in Melbourne. Since he's gone to Sydney, there's been no stopping him. He's responsible for Glass at the Sydney Hilton, Luke's Kitchen, Salt Grill, Luke's Burger Bar, P&O Cruises, Virgin Australia Business Class, Domestic and International. And there's the Bridge Bar and Coast Cafe at Sydney International Departures. And there's Chicken Confidential in Sydney. Luke, how do you do it all?
Well, very good question. I think, you just do, don't you? You just get up and want to do it. And I've been lucky that opportunities have come our way. And, when they come our way, we've got a good team of people working in different roles and different positions, and we just do it. So, I don't know. I enjoy it, and I do it.
Okay, let's go through a typical day for you. You get up in the morning, and then what happens?
Well, it's generally an early start, and I've got an office at home where I'll try and bang out all my emails and things like that I need to that have come in overnight or things like that. And then I'll head into the head office, which is in Dank Street, Waterloo, where our Luke's Kitchen is based also. And then the whole team are there, and then I'm there most of the morning when I'm in Sydney. We have a team of about 20 people in the office. Our product business is also based here. That's, from our oils and spices and things like that. So, I'm here, for the team if they ever need me. And then I'll head off to lunch service at Glass at the Hilton there, and then I'll be back here in the afternoon and do dinner service at night at Luke's Kitchen. So you just keep going.
and you manage what you do with a very good team, and good people can pick a good team. Bad people have only complain about their teams, I've discovered.
Yeah. No, I've been very lucky. I mean, a lot of the people who work for me now have worked a long time for me. Some of our head chefs have come up through the ranks as apprentices, and operations managers have been with me as restaurant managers and things like that. So, yeah, I'm very lucky, and I like for them to see that, when younger people come through, that there's a ladder that they can get to if they want to, there's a progression line, and that shows them that if they work hard and we all do the right things together, there's probably other opportunities for them.
And a real future for them. It's interesting. There's a great distinction that I think most of the public don't recognise between being a chef and being a restaurateur and being a multiple restaurateur.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, I think I've been very lucky that I could probably say I've had two or three careers in one career, if that makes sense. By being a cook, then being a head chef, and now a restaurateur doing everything that's involved in a restaurant. I don't perhaps cook as much as I used to, but I've got very young chefs who have come up through the ranks, as I said before, and who are doing wonderful things. And I think nowadays, some of them are cooking better than I ever could. So
that's a great tribute to you and to them. I've described your style before as being essentially bistro, but with some very contemporary chic attached to it.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, I'm all about, I know we chefs keep banging on about product and produce, but But I love food that is a great product and it's just simply cooked and not, you know, I couldn't stand molecular cooking because I just didn't know what I was eating or what it was. So I think that's our style of food, simple and lots of flavour.
That's my memory of Glass, that yeah. The food had terrific flavour, but it wasn't boring. It wasn't that, I know what this is meant to taste like. And like all good bistro-style food, you eat it thinking, I could have cooked this, but it wouldn't have been nearly as good.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah. And it's all about the product you source as well.
Yeah. And when did you become involved with Virgin Australia?
Virgin is, well, pretty much when the past CEO, John Borghetti, took over. So that's probably nearly 10, 11 years now that we've been doing the food there.
Has the food you've been doing there changed in that time?
Sorry, just repeat that.
Has the food you've been doing for Virgin changed over the years you've been doing it?
Oh, I think, you know, over time, and I think with my style of food, it's got fresher, lighter, cleaner, healthier, I guess. And also learning, you know, at our test kitchen in Dank Street, Waterloo, we have an airline oven where we actually test all the food before it gets on the plane. So we're... You know, we're always working to improve and to make things better.
That makes really, really good sense. It's like the people who choose wines for airlines
exactly.
always drink, taste them on board, up in the air.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to Necker Island, which is Sir Richard Branson's island, on the 8th of December. What are you going to do there?
Well, every year Richard holds a tournament called the Necker Cup, which has become quite famous, and he gets a lot of past and present players there as well on the island. But we've been on the last night of the Necker Cup. They have a big charity dinner for Richard's charity, Virgin Unite, and some other charities join in as well, I believe. And we're cooking for 200 of the VIP guests on that island, and hope to raise as much money as we can. So it's a big gala dinner, and it'll be lots of fun, and hopefully we'll raise lots of money.
What's on the menu? Can you say?
Well, we're just finalising a few things. We are doing the, I'm sure you know, the Hiramasa kingfish, which is quite popular in the US. So we're trying to get that down there. Then for the main course, we're going to do an organic chicken. And we haven't finalized what the touches to that we're doing, but dessert, we're doing a sort of a Caribbean coconut custard with tropical fruits. I know that's the dessert we're doing, so that's a good thing.
And that dessert fits in with the location, more or less.
Yeah, exactly.
And the kingfish will be spectacular. It's such an Australian product.
It's a beautiful product, and we use it in all the restaurants, and I really want to showcase it because, I mean, you can imagine the people dining at this dinner. You know, they travel the world, and they've probably got all their private jets and things or whatever they have, but, you know, they know quality, and I really want to showcase that Australian product. And getting it there is it's already over there that way anyway, so it'll be lovely.
Oh, that will be great. And it's interesting you're doing a really good chicken.
Yeah, well... Richard doesn't eat beef anymore, but I wanted to use a good organic chook, and we're going through the process of sourcing that. But I think, you know, but for those sorts of dinners, it comes back to what I said before: keeping it clean and simple. We'll slow roast it, you know, and keep it nice and moist and things like that.
And then you end up as someone eating the food saying, this is absolutely delicious. I'd forgotten how good chook could be.
Exactly right. And that's what I like to do with those things. Not play around with it too much and just make it beautiful.
That sounds wonderful. Mm. Any other plans for the future, or are you going to keep managing all the things you do?
I think, yeah, look, I think now, you know, business, you know, there's so many restaurants, Rita, you know that, all around the country, and so many good restaurants and so many great chefs coming through. I mean, look, what I love doing is our Appetite for Excellence program. That's all about the young chefs, young waiters and young restaurateurs. I'm flying over to Perth next week to actually interview Marco Pierre White for I run a program I started in 2015 called the Inspired Series, which is all about inspiring the next generation. So what I like to do is get some of the best chefs in the country or restaurateurs and interview them in front of young chefs and students at TAFE colleges, apprentices and people who want to be in the industry, because sometimes I feel that we as chefs and restaurateurs don't sell our industry that well. And I think by doing something like this, you can get Peter Gilmore on stage or someone like that and ask him all the ups and downs of, you know,
all the things he went through
to get where he got. And I think we've got, you know, there's not, it's not all good. It's not as all glossy as it is on a TV show or in a magazine. So I think it's important for the younger generation coming through to understand that as well.
And to be able to see people and to talk to them directly. I take it that Marco Pierre's not as scary as he used to be.
No, Marco was in to Glass for lunch last year, and we had a good chat, and this is how we lined it up. So he's a very nice guy, and I think, you know, I think we all change, don't we? So
That's right. That's right. Luke, thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. I've been talking to Luke Mangan in Sydney, and we haven't spoken for ages, so it's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you very much, Rita, and thanks for your support over all the years.
A pleasure.
That's Rita Ehrlich there, speaking with Chef Luke Mangan. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.